Let's begin. We have only 20 minutes. I want to continue discussing the topic yesterday. Yesterday we discussed the issue of going into a church. Is a person allowed to enter? Yesterday we discussed the issue, is a person allowed to enter a church based upon what it says in this parasha, that Moshe Rabbeinu, when he was mispalel, that the barad should cease. He told Paro, when I leave the city, I will be mispalel, that the barad should come to an end. Why did he have to leave the city to be mispalel? So both Rashi and Rabban explain, because the city was molid yilulim. The city was filled with avodah zarah. And you're not allowed to be in the presence, the vicinity of an avodah zarah. So we discussed... even now when you pray. So we discussed this yesterday. We discussed what says Shulchan Aruch. We discussed the Mishnah, the Avodah Zarah, the different reasons. The prohibition to enter a church. Number two, the prohibition even to enter a city, if that city has a church within. And then the prohibition to enter the courtyard of the church. Three different prohibitions. Entering a city that has a church, entering the courtyard of a church, and entering the church itself. To make a long story short, entering the church itself is categorically forbidden. According to the Rashba, you're not allowed to enter a church even if it's pikuach nefesh. If someone's going to take your life, the only place where you can save yourself is by hiding in the church. You're not allowed to enter the church. That's what the Rashba, elections for sure not. Elections I'm talking about in the church itself, according to the Rashba. It's an incredible chumrah. You're not allowed to enter a church afilu for the purpose of pikuach nefesh. The Gemara says that if there is a river, and the river is passing before an idol, and you want to take a sip of water from the river, you're going to have to bend down to take a sip of water. But by bending down, you're bending down, it gives the appearance that you're bending down in front of an idol. You're not allowed to bend down to take a sip from the river, even if it means you're going to starve to death.
World churches today considered
observed? That's another question we'll come to in a few moments. Let's assume yes. The Rambam paskins that shituf, that Christianity is the real avodah zarah. Combining a human being with the Kaddish Baruch Hu is called shituf. It's not worshiping an idol. It's worshiping a Kaddish Baruch Hu. But a Kaddish Baruch Hu is not alone. He's merged with a human being. The Rambam paskins that this is avodah zarah mamish. And according to the Rambam, entering a church was manazem ruba deruba. 95% of the churches is manazem. They believe to some degree in Trinity, to some degree, whatever this is, and if it would be real Avodah Zarah, even if you do not have in the Avodah Zarah at Salem, let's say you have a chapel, a Christian chapel, but then there's no cross, there's no Avodah Zarah, there's nothing. Okay, that's a church. So we discussed this yesterday. Let's go. I'm going very quick. We discussed yesterday according to the Gemara, and we discussed the Raios. We really discussed the Pasuk in Mishlei. The Pasuk in Mishlei says that you should distance yourself from these places. The Gemara says that you have to distance Dalet Amos. Fine. Most poskim are not as machmer as the Rashba, and they are of the opinion that for pikuach nefesh, you are allowed to enter a church, you are allowed to save yourself in a church. Okay, then we discuss the Mishnah. The Mishnah says that you're not even allowed to enter a city, an entire city where there is an avodah zarah. The Rambam in the Perush HaMishnah says, according to this Mishnah, to be taken literally, you're not allowed to enter a city that has a church. We're all living in sin. All living in sin, because there's no such thing as manazeh as a city that does not have a church. And the Rambam says, what could we do? We are our new sin. Oynis rachmana patre. We're living in sin. There's nothing we can do. According to Rashi and according to Rabbeinu Yonah, there's no problem. We're not living in sin. The prohibition of the Gemara is only when in this city they are celebrating. It's the Yom Eid. There's a church in the city and there's a celebration. There is a holiday. There is a pagan holiday. Then you're not allowed to be in the city. Or the Rabbeinu Yonah is even more lenient. Not only a pagan holiday. Even it has to be a holiday where people from other cities are coming to join. So therefore, according to Rabbeinu Yonah, there's no prohibition to live in a city where there's an avodah zarah. Even on New Year's, even on Xmas, and even on Easter, because no one is coming specifically to this city to participate in the holiday. They'll celebrate the holiday wherever they're located throughout the world. You need what's called. You need, okay, so it's not to say you need to call the new year. Okay, so that is Rashi. Rabbeinu Yoina is our saving grace. Okay, is our saving grace. If you know what I'm talking about, why we're not in violation. We're not in violation of of this halacha. Then we came to the middle situation. The Ramah says the same way you can't go into a city, you can't go into a church, you can't go into the courtyard of the Avodah Zarah. What is the... Now, that the longest is the courtyard have the status of the Avodah Zarah Mamish, or does the courtyard have the status of the city? If the courtyard has the status of the church itself, we have a very big problem. Then going into the parking lot of a church, going into the walking on the lawn of a church, going into the lobby of a church to vote, going into the basement to play bingo,
awning,
that would be part of, if it's the church itself, then there's no and if a but, it's going to be us. But if you learn that the courtyard is an extension of the ear, then just like Bizman Hazeh, we have so many leniencies to go to the ear of the Avodah Zarah, we can also find leniencies to go into the courtyard. Then it's not so bad to go vote in a church in the lobby. You're not going into the sanctuary. The lobby is not so terrible. The basement is not so terrible. They are chiluke deos. The bottom line is, a church is osur. Pikuach nefesh, we're mekel. You can go in. The city, we're mekel. We don't pass like the Rambam in this regard, we're mekel. The courtyard is something which is complex. Chiluke deos. Some rabbanim will allow you to go into the lobby of a church to vote. Some will not. Because what status is the lobby? Is the lobby a din of the ear? The lumdus is a din of the ear? Is the lobby a din of the Avodah Zarah Mamish? If it's the Avodah Zarah Mamish, there's no room to be lenient. If the lobby, if the chotzer, has an extension of the ear, sheyesh bo Avodah Zarah, then there's grounds to make, just like Bisman has said, we're very lenient when it comes to going into a city which has an Avodah Zarah. Now, what I want to talk about, a chapel in the hospital, l'chore not. It's made for everyone. What? Yeah, it's probably case by case. You have to ask them what was it designed for, created for. Most hospitals are not affiliated specifically with a religion. So there's a chapel. The chapel is non-denominational. Anyone who wants to come, you go to a Christian hospital, that might already be different.
What about a privately owned Christian chapel? And they have them.
Yeah, if you privately own Christian chapel, will probably be a problem. You're going into a sanctuary. You're going into a place on Sunday they have mass. Right, in the hospitals, no?
No. A chapel, a guy is being buried, and they have...
Okay, I don't know. We have to... A funeral chapel. It depends. A funeral service, from what I have read, is a religious service. And therefore, a non-Jewish Christian chapel is a church, basically. It's basically a church. So you're not allowed to go into a chapel under any condition for a funeral. Let's say someone, a co-worker, as a relative that has died, and you want to go to pay respects by going to the funeral. The funeral is in a Christian chapel. Okay, privately owned, non-Jewish wake is also a problem. All right, then we're going off again. Okay, this is just a review. Okay, we summarize pretty much in 2 minutes what we've done. Yes, and I want to expand upon that with an article, two articles that I've come across. We threw out yesterday very quickly that a couple of years ago, about 7 years ago, President Barack Obama, the day after his inauguration, there was a service. He arranged, it seems like this was traditional. There was a service that was held in a church. I don't know the name of the church, but it was a service that was held in a church where members of clergy were invited.
National cathedral.
No, I don't think it wasn't held there. It was not held in the cathedral, because that would be more problematic. It was not held there. It was held somewhere else. And to this event, they were invited members of clergy. All different types of religious leaders were asked to attend and to participate in a service of prayer for the new president of the United States, that he should be successful. And what they call the Obama team. The Obama team, when it came to, they wanted three rabbis to attend. They wanted a conservative rabbi, a reform rabbi, and an Orthodox rabbi. And they asked the first choice, what it says in the article. I have two articles. One article appears in the Hakira Journal. Okay, Hakira Journal, and the second article appears in Headlines by David Lichtenstein, and they overlap, but there's very different. So President Obama, the Obama team wanted three rabbis, and the way they write up, if it's true, and I really don't know if it's true, but they write up that they asked Rabbi Tzvi Hirsch Weinreb to represent the Orthodox Orthodox Jewry. He should be the representative. He should come to the, this church, to this event, and participate, or at least be present in this service. And he declined, obviously because of the complex halachic issues of a religious Jew entering a church. He declined. Here in David Lichtenstein, in his book, he writes that the Obama team was insulted. I don't know how he knows that. They were offended. The president was surprised.
We got that in the email.
I don't know if it's true or not. He writes that there was a degree of disappointment with the Orthodox community. Why can't you participate and pray for the success of the new president of the United States?
You wouldn't be successful.
Okay, so it's not so simple. So that's what it says. So they went. Who did they take as a substitute? They asked Rabbi Lookstein, Rabbi Haskell Lookstein. He accepted and he went. He accepted, he attended, and he participated. And this participation, he read Psukim. I don't know what he read. He read Psukim from Tanakh. And he spoke with the president, and he said to the president, President, I remember you went to Sidrot. You went, in part of your campaign, you went to Eretz Yisrael, and that was the time when they were launching missiles from Gaza, Sderot, upon the people in the south. And you said to them, you made a statement, you said that if it was my home, and people were shooting rockets on my two daughters, I wouldn't take this sitting down. I would do everything in my power to have this come to an end. So Haskell Lookstein, he listened to this statement, and he shook his head, and Rabbi Haskell Lookstein says testimony that he made an impression, his words made an impression upon him, and he writes there, Rabbi Haskell Lookstein says, who knows, maybe my words had some influence over him over his 8 years, that maybe one Jew, he made a decision where one Jew's life was spared. And there's a lot of truth to that statement. That maybe, you don't know, you say a few words and you remind him and you have a commitment that he made, maybe in the course of his presidency where you have to make decisions, and every decision the president makes affects people's lives. There's a trickle-down effect. Maybe the life of one Jew was spared because of my influence, my conversation I had with the President of the United States. That's the beginning of the Koach Nefesh. That was rationalization. Okay, so this is what happened. He did not, now, let's go, we're running out of time very quickly. Let's go, here's the story. So he went, and he. This is, after he attended, he was criticized. By who? By the RCA. He's a card member of the RCA. The RCA issued a criticism. There's a very popular blog.
NBC.
The RCA criticized him. Rabbi Kenneth Allman, at that time, I believe, was the president of the RCA, if I'm not mistaken. And he took the lead, and he criticized that it was not by Kenneth Allman, the rabbi of the Young Israel of Flatbush, over here on Avenue I and the Coney Island. And he was criticized. Now, I do not know to what degree he was criticized. Now, who came to his defense? Rabbi Michoel, I'm not sure I'm pronouncing his name, Browdy. He was on the Bezdin now. Rabbi Browdy, is it Browdy? Is that how you pronounce his name?
Yeah.
Browdy, or Michoel, I'm not sure. Okay, so he came to his defense. And he very vigorously, vehemently and vigorously defended Rabbi Haskell Lookstein. And in the course, there was correspondence between official correspondence. There was a letter that was issued, that was written by Rabbi Lookstein to the RCA explaining his opinion. And there was a response by Rabbi Allman. And there was a defense by Rabbi Browdy. And then there was another letter, give and take, back and forth. All of this correspondence, all of these official letters of correspondence, was collected and published in the Chakira Journal. And in these letters, there's like five different, maybe up to five different back and forth between the defense. That Rabbi Lookstein, he stood out of this. Smart. He did what he did. He presented his reasoning, which is pretty good. He has a very nice reasoning. I mean, what he says is pretty, I mean, you'll see, we'll try to go through very quickly. It's very sound what he says. And that's it. Leave me alone. If you don't like it, you don't like it. I did what I did. Leave me alone. the give and take, the Melchamta Shel Torah, it's a very respectable Melchamta Shel Torah, was between Rabbi Browdy, strongly defending and advocating that what he had done was the right thing, and Rabbi Alman strongly criticizing that what he has done is the wrong thing. Rabbi Browdy mentions in part of this dialogue, this debate, that he personally, that he was once asked by a member of Knesset, if I'm not mistaken, a member of Knesset, to go to a church for, and it doesn't say what it was. He refuses to say what it was. He doesn't say what it was. There was an event. He was approached by a member of Knesset. He's an American. But someone in Eretz Yisrael approached him and said, we want you to go to a church because something you need to be there. It's extremely important. And he says, I was shaken up. I wouldn't go into a church. Everyone knows halacha. A Jew does not go into a church. So he said, this is in the interest of Klal Yisrael. It's a national security interest. You have to go. He was not convinced until he contacted him again and said, come with me, we're going to go to the Tzitz Eliezer. Tzitz Eliezer of Eliezer Waldenberg, one of the biggest Paisik in Eretz Yisrael at the time, is no longer living. One of the biggest, especially medical issues, a very big Paisik. We went, and the Tzitz Eliezer told him, you have to go. It's mutter, you have to go. It's for the Klal Yisrael, and in this situation, you're mechuyif to go. So he learned from that firsthand that you do have to go. And therefore, he very strongly came to defend Rabbi Lukstein. Now, in addition to what it says in the article in the Hakira Journal, on his own, Rabbi David Lichtenstein, he went and he published his own article where he presents another whole list of reasons. Some things overlap with the article in Hakira, and some things he says svaris on his own. So let's just draw some of the basic yesodas. The first, the reason presented by Rabbi Lukstein, this is Shulchan Aruch, Yeredeya, Simen Kuf, Ayin Ches, Sif Beis, Mi Shehu Korov Lamalchus, Vitzarech Lilboish Bimalbushehem, Uledamois Lohem, Mutter Bakoil. The words of the Machaber are. A person is koroiv lemalchus. This is the key words, the buzzwords, the code words are koroiv lemalchus. If you're close to government, you're allowed to dress like them. You're allowed to wear their clothing. You're allowed to grow long hair. Special clothing. Especially, you're allowed to grow long hair. You're allowed to cut your hair in a certain way. You're allowed to look like George Washington, right? If you want to be part of the government, you got to look like, you got to wear a wig, wear George Washington. You got to wear special clothing. Wearing the clothing of the non-Jews is a violation. If a person, it's not a good person, stam, an ordinary citizen, are you allowed to dress like a guy? It's clearly forbidden. It is also for a Jew to dress like a guy. It's a violation of Uvichu Koseihem Lo Seilechu. The Mechaber says if you Koroiv Lamalchus, you're allowed to violate the law of Mechaber Beferish, you're allowed to violate Uvichu Koseihem Lo Seilechu. So here is the crux of the issue, the argument. And this is where Rabbi Lukstein says, this is where Rabbi Browdy defends him, is that going to a church for a ceremony, for the President of the United States is begeder korov lamalchus. I have to be korov lamalchus in order that just in case there's a situation comes up in the future where you need people to have a relationship with the leader in order to influence him to do good, it's begeder korov lamalchus. And the Mechaber says, you're allowed to violate uvichukosim lo silechu. Uvichukosim lo silechu is an isser midrabanan. It's not a deraisa. To wear the clothing of a non-Jew is not a deraisa, but it's an isser midrabanan. And therefore, all other Isur Rabbanon, this is his extension. I'm not being accurate, so don't quote me on anything I say. But basically, all other types of Isur Rabbanon are also overlooked in order to be mekayim, to fulfill what the Mechaber says, Korov Lamalchus. Rabbi Alman disagrees with these two main arguments are as follows. Number one, you're not Korov Lamalchus. Number one, he holds, when it says in the Mechaber, you have to go back to the sources, Korov Lamalchus means you are constantly at the side of the king. A rabbi from New York even if you have a good relationship with the President of the United States, he holds is not what the Mechaber says, Karv L'Malchus. He holds not. Karv L'Malchus means you lobby. Jack Lew maybe is Karv L'Malchus. A person who works with the President on a daily basis, that's someone who occasionally, a rabbi, you're one of many rabbis, so you have no relationship with him, you're just invited because you're a famous person.
What about the evil?
What do you mean, evil? Eva? No, Eva is another issue. We'll get to in a moment. That's another. We're running out of time.
Okay.
But. Okay, this is what he says. Karov Rabbi Alman says that a rabbi who's not working in government is not in the category of Karov L'Malchus. Rabbi Browdy disagrees. He strongly disagrees. He holds any person who represents the Jewish community in the global village we live today, where we're under scrutiny, and there's media, there's newspaper, there's internet, and there's email. Rabbi Browdy, this is a very strong point of contention between the two. What is called Karov L'Malchus? Yeah. He holds you are Karov L'Malchus. The second point is, when the Mechaber says, you're allowed to violate V'chusem Lo Selechu, it's a very limited violation of Halacha. Because V'chusem Selechu, number one, it's up to the Rabbanon to decide. It's a type of Rabbanon that is subject to interpretation. It's not explicit. In fact, he quotes the Taz. He quotes the Taz and other, I remember who, is that even according to the Mechaber, you're not allowed to do an Isser Deraisa, and you're not allowed to do anything that's explicit. You're only allowed to do V'chusem Lo Selechu is a gray area in Halacha. Are you allowed to wear blue pants? Everyone today dresses like the guy. We all wear suits. We all wear ties. Why are you wearing a tie? A tie is a non-Jewish thing. Even wearing a hat is a non-Jewish thing. Wearing a strimal is a non-Jewish thing. This thing of dressing like a non-Jew is on the level of violation of Halacha is as low as it gets. It's not an Issur D'Oraisa. You're not eating non-kosher. You're not even doing an Issur D'Rabbanan. You're doing something which is subject to prohibition. Don't go in their ways. The Rabbanan came along and told us that if you dress like a non-Jew, you're in violation of U'v'chusim Le'Selechu. That's subject to the Rabbanan's interpretation. It's a very low level of prohibition to dress like a non-Jew. To enter, to go into a church is either an Issur D'Oraisa. This we discussed yesterday. We discussed yesterday, Rabbi Lukstein says only Issur D'Rabbanan. So Rabbi Alman says it's not Issur D'Rabbanan. According to many Rishonim, going into a church is Issur D'Oraisa. And if it's not Issur D'Oraisa, it's an explicit Issur D'Rabbanan based on the Pasuk in Mishlei. So it's a prohibition that is on a much, much higher level than what the Mechaber says, Uvichukoseim Loiseilechu. And the Ramah says, Mechaber Loiseilechu. So this is the main second point of disagreement. Okay, going on. First of all, what is called Karv L'Malchus? Number two, what is the Mechaber permits, Uvichukoseim Loiseilechu, how does that translate into going into a church? The Chusem Lo Selechu just don't dress like them. That's very minor relative to going into a church which is an Isser D'Oraisa or an Isser, an explicit Isser Midrabbanan. And he says no. He goes back and forth. Rabbi Brown, he says no. The Chusem Lo Selechu means you can basically violate any Isser Midrabbanan. And he tries to prove this. The arguments appear to be a little bit on the weak side. I have no agenda over here. But he tries to say that if Hussein Lo Selechu opens you up to do things that otherwise you would not think of doing. Now, however, okay, then there's more discussion, but then and he has other reasons why it should be mutter. He talks about a new concept called Ema Samalchus. The Gemara Masechet Bava Bash talks about the prohibition from accepting tzedakah from a guy. From a non-Jew. Are you allowed to accept tzedaka from a non-Jew for the binyan based hamigdash? And the Gemara there says that Hordis, he gave money he built, and they accepted, even though it was a violation, accepting money from non-Jew for the building of the based hamigdash is an Isser D'Oraisa, or at least an Isser Midrabbanan, and they did it. Not only did they, they put up a statue, they put up a symbol, a plaque. This comes from Hordis. And the Gemara there says, you know why? Emas Hamalchus. Because if you're not to behave yourself, who knows what's coming next. So here, the Obama team was insulted. Obama, whether you like it or not, is the most powerful person in the world. That's the fact.
Now he's the third.
Why is he the third?
No, Michelle is the most powerful.
Michelle is the most powerful. Okay. But that's the way it is. There's no, you don't have to his agenda.
No, now they said international leaders.
Oh,
Obama
used to the first. He reduced the presidency to number three.
Number three.
You can't deny the fact that there's something called Amos HaMalchus. So he wants to argue, Rabbi Lovdov Lichtenstein, this has to be taken into account, Amos HaMalchus. Okay, that's what he argues. He brings the Gemara Basra and he discusses this Amos HaMalchus, a new concept, the Magen Avram. It's a Magen Avram and it's a Gemara and you have to see the Sugi himself, Gemara Basra. A third argument in why you should move to is another Gemara about Evil. There's a very fascinating Gemara. Many people know the Gemara. No, not Eva. Different now. Then you're getting to Eva. That's another sugya. That is Ben Bei Avidon. There was a place in the Gemara called Bei Avidon, and who was Bei Avidon? The Amoraim went to visit Bei Avidon in order to engage in religious debate. Bei Avidon, they had dialogue. What is it called? Interfaith dialogue. Mamish, interfaith dialogue. Kipshuto kimashmo. Okay, Rav Soloveitchik was against interfaith dialogue. And right away, Rabbi Lichtenstein, he right away says, I'm against interfaith dialogue. I follow Rav Soloveitchik. I never did it in my whole life. I never engaged in interfaith dialogue. But the Gemara talks about mamish, interfaith dialogue. And where did it happen?
Rav Soloveitchik was even against between Orthodox
and conservative. Interfaith dialogue is off the books. Okay, we're running out of time. I want to look very quick. Bei Avidon. Now, the question over here is, Machlokes Rashi, where did these debates, this interfaith dialogue take place? It took place in a location called Bei Avidon. What is Bei Avidon? It's Machlokes Rashi and Tosfos. According to Tosfos says it was, Rashi says it was a church. Rashi says Bei Avidon was a Mokim Avodah Zarah. It was the sanctuary where they actually worshipped the idols. And yet the Amoraim, they went. How were they allowed to go? How are you allowed to go into a church? It's an issue of their rights to go into a church. So we learn from this Gemara that we're trying to discuss that when he calls it here manifestly innocent intent, when it's clear as day, we have to take a step back. We really touched upon this yesterday. Why are you not allowed to go into a church? Chashad. One of the main reasons why you're not allowed to go into a church is because of chshada, suspicion. People see you go into a church, they're going to suspect you're worshipping idols. I'm not doing anything, I'm just walking, I'm looking at the beautiful scenery. I'm looking at the pictures, the paintings. They're going to suspect that you've gone over to the other side.
Under the category of idols, right?
If it's clear as day, there's an interfaith dialogue, an interfaith debate taking place, and you're going there to represent Klal Yisrael, it could not be clearer that you're not going to the other side. You're going there to debate. When you're going to this church to be present, you're not going there because you're worshipping idols. You're going there because you want to wish, give him a mazel tov. You became the president. I'm here to give you a mazel tov. I'm not going here to worship idols. Another reason he wants to combine is, who says that we have to pass it like the Rambam, that sheet of Christianity is Avodah Zarah Mamish? There's a long list of Rishonim that say that Shituf is not Avodah Zarah Mamish. So that means going into a church, you're not really doing anything wrong. You're not going into a Makom Avodah Zarah. When you go into a church, you're not going into a base Avodah Zarah, because Christianity is Shituf, Trinity is not Avodah Zarah, so you're not really technically doing anything wrong. So when you want to add that, so he basically, and it's very surprising, he's a very right-wing person, David Lichtenstein, you would suspect that he would be on the side of criticizing Rabbi Lichtenstein, but he really comes out on the side defending him pretty strongly. And he comes away over here that his conclusion is there are really four things going in favor of Rabbi Lichtenstein. First of all, he did make a very good argument, Karv L'Malchus, and he makes a very sound argument. Okay, his extent Rabbi Alman is really has the day when it comes to show that Karv L'Malchus does not entitle you to do any explicit Avera. Okay, but alright, he makes this argument in Karv L'Malchus. We do find there is some leeway. He introduces something that no one talks about. This is something brand new. This is his chiddush. The sugya of Emas HaMalchus, a sugya in Bava Basra, which is cited by the Magen Avram. Emas HaMalchus, which allows you to do things, to do Isurim De'oraisa, Mamish Amos Amalchus Hayrasha, you're allowed to violate Isum Deraisa, Ain Dava Bikuach Nevesh. Now I think also he this I think similar. The one thing I left out is Hatzolas Yisrael. I left that out. Rabbi Brody, he also makes mention of another concept called there's Bikuach Nefesh, and there's something called Hatzolas Yisrael. Hatzolas Yisrael is a few notches above Bikuach Nefesh. Even things you can't do for Bikuach Nefesh, you can do for Hatzolas Yisrael. The only thing is there an imminent danger? Is there imminent danger, or are you just planning for the future to build up a relationship? But that's also an idea. So there are only five things. Karv l'malchus, controversial. Who makes you karv l'malchus? Who says you are? Even if you karv l'malchus, who says you can violate an isser, an explicit isser? Next, emas ha-malchus. The king tells you there's an ema of the malchus. You don't want to insult the Obama team. Then there's something called hatzolas Yisrael, which is on a higher level of pikuach nefesh. And then there is the manifestly innocent intent. Be'avidon. The only reason why you can't go to an avodah zarah is because of chashad. There's no chashad. Everyone knows you're going there to wish the king mazel tov. You're not going there to go and go over to the other side. And then, who says a church is an makom avodah zarah? It's shituf. Shituf is not necessarily makom avodah zarah. So when you combine all of these things together, there's very strong ground to be megal. And in fact, in Europe, we mentioned Rabbi Sachs, chief rabbi, and all of his predecessors, Emmanuel Jacobowitz, and I forgot all the names. A whole long list of chief rabbis of the British Commonwealth, which have always traditionally attended services in the church on state ceremonies with the psak of the biggest gedolei Yisrael. And even recently, there was a very chashuv rav Eretz Yisrael that was sent by Eretz Yisrael. He went to the funeral of the Pope. Pope John Paul II, the third, before Benedict, before he's still living.
Well,
Benedict.
Rabbi Lyle went to visit the Pope in.
No, that's not in the church. He went in his private quarters. That's not in the church itself. But to go to the funeral, that's a funeral is a mass. He went. He was sent by the Rabbanim in Eretz Yisrael. There was someone there that was involved in the Rabbanim in Eretz Yisrael. So there is precedent. There's a lot of the Gedolei Yisrael have granted explicit permission and made use of all of these five different svaras. Karv l'malchus, emos ha-malchus, hatzolas Yisrael, and it's there's no chashad, and shituf is not avodah zarah mamish.
It's not avodah zarah. Why can't a plain person go into a church?
Because we're machmir lechatchila for two reasons. Number one, lechatchila we passing like the Rambam that it is avodah zarah. Okay. Yeah, it's a you combine when you're in a bind. It is avodah zarah. Number two, even though it's not avodah zarah for them, we're not allowed to do it. So you're not allowed to do shituf. You're allowed to wear yashka.
I don't believe in shituf.
But it's still it's still awesome. It's still forbidden. It's still forbidden. Okay, we'll stop here.